You just gooned a piece of pizza, didn't you?
Yeah,
could tell.
I barely got back in time, and I went upstairs. I was feeding, and I'm setting up for more because I'm going to eat like right when we get off the air. And I got into a conversation, and I lost track of time. I just, like, I'm out of breath right now.
You know
I ran downstairs.
And this is, like, the problem that I've run into. Mulz will come on. The minute we finish a segment, Mulz will be like, you're clear. I never hear him go, you have 6 minutes, you have 4 minutes, or whatever. So I'm constantly guessing. I'm in the kitchen going, how long has it been? Has it been 3 minutes? Has it been 4 minutes? And then I'll stick my head back into my office to hear if there's a commercial on. Well, I've been busted a few times coming back late where I hear, like, Hayes going, all right, we're back in the and I, like, sit down. Luckily, Megan or whoever's working the camera at that time won't put us on. They'll delay until all of us are seated. But I guarantee you, we all have our little stories because I got busted last hour coming in because I had dinner sitting in front of me, and I was still chewing it as we started up.
See, you guys have that ability. I don't. Like, once we get going, like, you guys could chew for, like, a minute and a half, really, if you
want.
Yeah, you
got to open, yeah.
And I got to, but I got to open the hour and get us going and get us talking and whatever. So if I'm not back, you know, it's not like you guys couldn't carry it. But if you don't know that I'm not back, it gets awkward because the intro song's playing for, like, 45 seconds. And,
then we'd be like, where the hell's Hayes?
Right, yeah, exactly. And when we're in studio, I know I have the time down. Like, I know how long it takes to get to, you know, place A and back, or place B and back, or whatever. Go to the washroom, go get a drink. I know.
Right.
And there's clocks everywhere, all over TSN. You can see it to the second. When you're at home, I don't have it. And I lost track of time, but we're all good. We're back and everything's fine. So Bob McKenzie at around 6:25. Role play level of concern. This is something we've done now a couple of times. We have done level of concern many times for years and years now. But role play, it's just a little bit of a different element, and I like it. I think it's worked out pretty well the last couple of times we've done it. So we're going to go around the table here. All three of us are going to play the role of either a person or a thing, and then we have to come up with a level of concern. Are we a pine on the patio, which would suggest we have no concern? Are we like a 12-pack of beer? Like, there's a decent amount of concern. Or are we Nicolas Cage in Vegas? You guys ready to do this?
Ready
Let's
to
go.
Roll.
You can never, ever ask me to stop drinking.
Okay.
Do you understand?
All right, here we go. Role play level of concern. Oh, we will begin with you. Jeff O'Neill, you are Tiger Woods. Actually, you're not even Tiger. You're Tiger's back and glutes. All right? So you're two body parts for Tiger Woods. What is your level of concern playing competitive golf this weekend, even if it is only 18 holes?
Miles, hit it, please.
You can never ask me to stop drinking.
Our boss does not want to hear this, but I think his Masters victory, that was the end of it. I think it's, you know, you give that guy a bunch of time off, and I know he usually loves time off, but I think that, like, he grabs the glutes, and it's just like, no. Any sign of rust, he grabs the back, he grabs the glute, and it's game over. It's it. It's all he has to do. It's like, oh, my back. And he's not in great health. Like, he had some issues last year where it was like, you know,
what a story that would be. He's out there with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Phil. Phil's older than him. Phil never has injuries.
No, I know.
Like, Phil he's like Phil Kessel. Anyone named Phil, you just play.
Phil Mickelson is that big, lanky guy that's not that muscular, and he's never injured, ever.
Ever. Like, I honestly don't remember the last time he was even like, I'm not feeling great today. He's just always on.
I guarantee you there's times he's hungover. Like, I still think, when I think of Phil Mickelson, was it maybe within the last couple of years he was wearing those American flag pants and he was scissor kicking things in the bar?
Yeah, that's right. That was during the President's Cup, I think it was, or Ryder
Cup. He was doing weird things.
Yeah.
I loved it. He was doing like some Matthew McConaughey stuff. You know,
well,
what I
remember
mean?
Also he tried to introduce a dress shirt into the golf attire.
Like, remember, brutal.
It was the worst. Like, legitimately, yeah.
Tiger had to
up.
Play with him at the Masters, and he was wearing one, and he's like, I don't know what that thing is. Like, that's a joke.
Who wanted that ever introduced to golf? Like, who wants to wear a dress shirt playing?
Wouldn't his agent call him and say, can you please not do this? Like, stop it.
It's the puffy shirt. It's the puffy shirt from Seinfeld. Like, him having to wear that, he was ridiculed. It was brutal. It was awful. He shouldn't have done it.
Anyway, Tiger Woods, I think a couple bad shots. He grabs the lower back and he grabs his ass cheek.
Okay.
Wow.
Noodles, you are this year's Stanley Cup winner, assuming we will have that, okay? We're going to work under that assumption. You are this year's Stanley Cup winner. What is your level of concern over potentially having an asterisk beside your name?
I am even below a pint on the patio, and here's why. Ask the Chicago Blackhawks from 2013 in a shortened lockout season.
They didn't
you think
care.
They care? Uh-huh. They don't care. They got a Stanley Cup. Like, and they're going to play. Like, it's not like they're playing six games and they're just handing the cup to somebody. Like, they're going to end up going through a grueling playoff, regardless if there's fans or not. And that's why I think Gary Bettman was so adamant of saying, we want to give the Stanley Cup out, but we want to do it with a level of integrity. Well, integrity is playing those rounds and battling for a couple months to play and winning a Stanley Cup. To me, I think it's a pint on the patio, because whoever wins is going to have to go through the grind of playing for 2 months straight under adverse conditions.
I agree with you. I think it is. I think you're still getting the cup. You're still getting the ring. You may not get the parade. You may not get to party the same way, although they'll find a way to party, believe me. Even if they have to rent a campground somewhere, they're going to get after it. But you also are going to have – I think this could be a cup that players are going to want even a little bit more, because you're going to be – it won't be an asterisk.
Yeah.
It'll be a record book. It'll be you did something no one else has ever done and no one ever will do again.
Yeah.
You
and by the way,
hotel for 2 months and won a cup.
It's also that one cup where it's like, guys, let's be good here for 2 months and we can sneak in here and do this.
Right.
Like the old why not us is going to be thrown out all over the place.
I love it. Everyone's going to have a motto and a hashtag and the last dance. And, you know, everyone's going to take their P's and Q's from Phil Jackson and others without question. All right. I am Dak Prescott. What is my level of concern over contract details leaking through the media? I'm going to say
Chris Sims. What a joke.
Yeah, that one hurt, because like Chris Sims, who's a former player and he works with NBC, and he's actually building up a pretty big media profile. Like he's doing stuff with NBC and Sunday Night Football. He's on that panel every once in a while.
That quarterback guy, like, talks about them, like, analyzes it, but
he
pulled a fast one.
Here's what happened. Like, this is what happens, though. Like, the insiders come out and they just smack at you, and it's like, all right, like Ian Rappaport, relax, Ian. Like, you've never gotten anything wrong. And who's to say anyone really knows what's happening? Like, no one really knows the details. Chris Sims reported that Dak turned down a 5-year, $175 million deal. Schefter comes out and goes, no. Rappaport's even more, you know, forceful in saying that never happened. But, you know, that's probably coming from either the agent or the team, who, of course, are going to tell Schefter and Rappaport that didn't happen. But why would you trust anyone in this process? Maybe Sims did get it right, and maybe he will be the last one laughing. But as far as I'm concerned, playing the role of Dak Prescott, I'm going to say I'm a 12-pack, but not because I'm concerned about Jerry Jones or the Cowboys. I have all the leverage as Dak Prescott. You just went out there and you drafted another wide receiver in the first round. You went out there and you paid a premium for Amari Cooper. You went out there and you paid a premium for Ezekiel Elliott. We have a division.
I don't think he has the pull of an Elliott, though, Brian. He can't just say, I'm going to go to the Bahamas. And
He should. He's got more.
Okay.
He should have more.
If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm going to say, I'm going to call Cam Newton and I'll get him.
Go for it.
Right.
Yeah, and I hear you. Maybe they do that. And maybe Cam comes in and plays great. Maybe Cam comes in and can't walk and can't throw the ball 20 yards. Dak Prescott plays the premium position. Like, this is ass backwards that the wide receiver and running back got paid before the quarterback.
You're telling me you had one game to win right now. You wouldn't have Cam Newton over Dak Prescott to win that?
I might, but I'll spin that on you. Who's more important in one game tonight, Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott?
Dak.
It's the quarterback. Every day of the week, there isn't another position in American sports that's more important than the quarterback.
I get that, but it could be Cam Newton. This guy shouldn't be able to hold everyone hostage and be like, I'm this guy or that guy. He hasn't won anything.
He hasn't won anything, but
they've been up and down the last two regular seasons. Why does he deserve all the cake?
I'll tell you why. Because, again, you look at the wins. He does win. His stats are pretty good. Yes, he hasn't won Super Bowls or playoff games or whatever.
Games. Right. That's all that matters.
Carson Wentz got paid. What the hell has he done? All he does is get injured. Carson Wentz got paid. That Jared Goff in L.A. was brutal last year. He got paid. So if you're Dak Prescott, you're like, yeah, I know I'm not Mahomes. I'm not arguing that I am Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, but I'm also not, you know, the 22nd ranked quarterback in the league.
Only point is, if I'm the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, I'm going to say, Dak, you're great, man. You're going to get paid, but you're not going to put us up against it and demand this or that. You want to get paid well, go ahead, but we're not making you like the highest paid quarterback ever.
They would have done it by now, though. If Jerry Jones had the stones to turn on him, he would have done it by now. And Dak Prescott knows it. And the only concern is that the fans and the media are going to start turning on him. That is worthy of a legitimate concern. With details leaking about how much money he wants and what he's turning down, that is something that's worthy
that
of concern.
No way.
Well, I know we got
to
go or move on. Where does Dak fit? Is he a top 12 quarterback? Like, I don't.
Yeah,
barely.
He's somewhere barely in that range. He's between like 8 and 15.
Right.
So, you know, some weeks he's 8th, some weeks he's 15th. He's not like an elite upper echelon guy. I don't think he's ever going to compete for an MVP or anything, but he's also not a dud. Like, he's just a good quarterback.
And that's why, Brian, I would not pay the money, because if you don't have an elite quarterback to go against Mahomes or one of those guys, like, you can't win. You're never going to win with Dak Prescott. So why?
Well,
I'm not doing it.
But you're not going to – how are you going to – you're definitely not going to win with nobody.
Okay, but it's the same as Phillip Rivers. He got paid in San Diego and L.A., and it's just like – you're a great quarterback, dude, but you're never going to beat Mahomes on a good day. You're never going to beat Brady. You're never going to beat Peyton Manning. It's just, you're going to be good, and that's it. You're never going to win, therefore I'm not paying you that money.
I hear you, but good at that position still gets paid.
Yeah, but you're not going to win.
Good at that position still gets
paid. You're not going to win.
But you're definitely not going to win. Like, Dak may know that, but you're definitely not winning this year. Jerry Jones lives for every single game. Not a 10-year plan. Jerry Jones isn't interested in building for 3 or 4 years down the road. Yeah. He is interested in winning right now. He looks at that division and he says, we can win this division. And Dak knows that he wants to win it. And Dak knows he needs Dak to do that.
Yeah, it's the same as Cleveland in my mind. Baker Mayfield, like, he is never going to take the next step where he's going to beat a Ben Roethlisberger and then Jackson, and then he's just not that guy.
You
got to
give him more time, though. He's only been in the league 2 years. You took him first overall.
Like, don't you kind of know about a guy after talent. A couple years? Like, don't you kind of know? Like,
2 years ago, they thought he was worthy of first overall pick. Like, yeah, and that's another thing. Dak Prescott has been criminally underpaid because of where he was drafted. And he wants to get paid. And the level of concern is more about the backlash with the media and fans. I'm not concerned at all about Jerry Jones as Dak Prescott. All right, moving on here. Oh, you are the 2020 Grey Cup. Level of concern, you will not be awarded this season.
Mulls hit it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
I just think any league that's asking for that money, Brian, they're going to have a tough time putting it all together, and I think that trophy might just, you know, might be in the closet for the rest of the year. I don't know if they're going to do it. If they can do it, it's like, and by the way, anyone that decides on the money going to the CFL, it's probably 150 pages deep as far as priority. That's just
Yeah, and I also think we lose sight of, listen, $150 million in relative terms is a lot of money. It's nothing in terms of a federal budget and how much money they're splashing around right now.
Exactly. Like, guy was
giving
that.
Okay, you think they're going to get it?
No, I'm not convinced they will, but I don't know if that's necessarily the reason why they will play or not. Like, I don't know if it's contingent, the season is contingent on them getting the money or not getting the money, but I think you've got, Like, you've got a real, you got an issue here, because out west they want to play. Like, out west, the CFL is a huge product.
The popularity is out there.
It's so popular, and also the cases are nowhere near as big. Like, this is another scenario where it's going to be Toronto and Montreal that determine whether or not the league is going to happen. And everyone out west is going to be like, what are we doing here? There's 20 cases in the city. Why aren't we playing?
Yeah, there's 50 cases in Edmonton, legitimately, out of a million people.
Less in Saskatchewan. Less in Winnipeg. In Winnipeg, on Monday, they're opening it up. Go play. Go practice. Go do whatever you want.
Yeah, they're opening rinks, everything. You saw that Sarah Lesky email. Have at it. Like, if it's not bad there, if you're smart about it, go out and have a normal life there. Right now, the numbers are still not curbing here in Ontario.
They've gone up the past couple of days.
Well, it's because people are being idiots. They're not understanding that, you know, there are some guidelines. Stick to the guidelines, even though it's warm outside. I know people are frustrated, but, you know, use a sense of logic here. They're not doing it. It's ridiculous.
Well, and you also got to remember, this is from 2 weeks ago, right? So it's not like, okay, they open up Monday and now we've gone up. Like, that's not the way it works. The testing that's gone up today or over the past couple of days was contracted like 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. So who knows where we're going to be
anyway,
in 2 weeks.
I'm a Nick Cage on that. I want to keep moving forward because I have to get to my last item.
All right. So here, let's keep rolling here. Noodles, you are the beautiful Edmonton, Alberta. You're the city of Edmonton. What is your level of concern over being a hub city for 12 NHL teams?
I think I'm a 12-pack, but I'm more leaning towards a pint on the patio. I think the city, in talking to my friends back there, my family, like, they would welcome it. They would certainly respect it. But what is it?
Why do you care, Jamie? It's like they're not doing anything. They're not even going to go anywhere. So what do you care?
What I'm saying is that I think there's still questions to be asked. So if I'm a member at the Edmonton Country Club and I paid a lot of money, and they're going to shut that down for 2 months because the NHL is going to take that over.
Never happen.
Well, I'm just saying, that type of stuff has to be answered. So that's why I guess I'm more a pint on the patio to maybe a six-pack, because I think there's just some questions that they will have. Everyone out there is welcoming it, because I just said, it's 1.2 million people. There's 50 cases out there. They want to get life back to normal. They want to house this. It'll be good for the economy. It'll be good for exposure.
Yep.
I think people are excited about it.
I am every college sport that is not football or basketball, and my level of concern that I will survive COVID-19. Play it, Mullen.
You can never... never ask me to stop drinking.
Yeah, I'll be quick on this, but men's basketball, men's football, those are the money makers for every school. Like they make millions. They're all. It's already started. There's already been big programs where it's like baseball's gone, field hockey's gone, this is gone. Like it's legitimately concerning. If they don't play next year, or they don't have school next year, there are going to be a ton of programs that get wiped out. Not all of them, and I think eventually they'll come back. You know, maybe in a few years they'll circle back. But if you are a volleyball team, you could be in trouble. You may not have the funding. You may not have the scholarship available to you, men or women. So that is a legitimate concern. That's Nick Cage in Vegas. All right. Oh, final one. You are Brian Hayes' garden. Level of concern, you're going to get butchered this spring.
Play it, please.
You can never... never ask me to stop drinking.
You have declared yourself this gardening guy and your fake news. And after this weekend, man, you are just going to let that thing rot. There'll be weeds. There'll be grubs. There's just all kinds of nonsense. You're not gardening guy, nor do you care. We talked yesterday about groups to get into. You don't even want to be in the gardening group. So stop acting like it.
Yeah, there's some fake news. I was out there again today. I had the weed whacker going, and I had big plans. Like, we got two trees in the front yard that I wanted to kind of dig out, and I just halfway through said, I'm going into the basement. I'm gonna roll some putts down in the basement. I think I'm back in the golf community. And I was going back and forth with Zucchino today on email, and he's like, come back to the golf community. So for Mark Zucchino, I'll do anything. Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. My garden, yeah. It was
fake
a good
news.
2 or 3 day
yeah.
run.
And you don't care about it anymore.
Yeah, more or less.
Get on the
Noodles,
Jiffy app. Yep.
You are the O-Dog's new pair of jorts. Level of concern you survived this summer.
Play it. Play it.
You.
Come on.
Never,
that was not even on the email.
Ask me to stop drinking.
No. Yeah,
you know,
it
was. There are so many different layers to here. Like, you are going to have an afternoon where maybe you get into the, what is it, the chips and the cream cheese,
oh,
and then you blow the ass out of them. Like, you know, there's so many things that you're going to, you know, be hitting balls and reach down to go under the tee.
I'm not wearing these to a golf course, but I will say, I'm the kind of guy, when I like something, like a pair of shoes, I buy 5 pairs. So I love these jorts. I'll go to Walmart next time, and I'll buy 5 pair.
Well, that's fine. Like, pairs 2 through 5 might survive, but the primary pair that has been worn out already has a 0% chance of surviving the summer. Like, it's not getting to Labor Day.
It's
not getting to July 1. It won't get to Canada Day.
Yeah, it's going to be Berman on the golf course.
That's right. Swass, you know, and just a diet that isn't healthy for a pair of jorts.
Yeah, it's you know, it's Nick Cage.
They're not surviving. All right, my final
one. They are surviving. Go ahead.
I am the first visitor allowed at Noodle's house. My level of
play
concern.
It. Play it. Play
Noodles
it.
Noodles will let me
play
touch
it.
Anything.
Play it.
Never. Never.
No.
Ask me to stop drinking.
No one's going
in that house, dude, for 2 years.
I can't think of a more uncomfortable situation than me having to pop by your house and you saying, like, yeah, just come in. I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd say, I'm not doing it, Noodles, because you don't really want me in there.
No.
And if I touch something, you're going to burn the house down and rebuild it.
If you went in his house and, like, touched his fridge or whatever, he would punch you right square in the side of your head.
Oh, no.
And that fridge would be on the corner the next day. It'd be out on the curb.
That's right. Yeah. New fridge. Thank you.
I got a scenario for you guys. Like, we opened the pool, but I've got a little cabana, and it's got, a bathroom. So I switched the toilet out. Well, the plumber came and switched the toilet out. He put it at the edge of the driveway. There
what?
Was, I wasn't paying attention, and I'm putting the kids down. I look out the window. There's a toilet at the end of my driveway. And, like, what do you do with it? Like, when do they come and take that away? And who's going to come and take that away?
Is someone pulling up in, like, a Dodge Ram and saying, that looks comfortable, and it's exactly what I need? Maybe there is. Maybe there's people that are dumpster diving for toilets, for porcelain.
Like, I was very, very upset.
That's tough. That's a tough message, too. Just telling the neighbors you couldn't care less.
No.
Yeah. I got it out of there. I couldn't. I've
seen that. I told you that a couple years ago. And it was sitting there for like 3 weeks. Some guy around the corner from me just put one out there, a used toilet, and it sat there for 3 weeks.
But then who came and took it?
I would assume the city, they probably left a fine on the guy's front door, said, here's $1,500, and we'll take it, but don't ever do that again.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. I don't know.
This like role play level of concern turns into like a jab for each guy every week. It's like something just to belittle the person every time.
Not? That's what
we
do
jorts.
On the show. Is it your first time?
No.
The jorts aren't, that's not belittling you. That's just saying, like, hey, you love those jorts, but we don't think they're going to make it to Canada Day.
Yeah.
Luckily, you bought 5 pairs.